Why is it not good enough to say sorry? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Mathilde Frey, professor of Old Testament at Walla Walla University in the School of Theology. I'm your host and study guide author. We continue our series on present truth in Deuteronomy. And again, my conversation partners are Jody Washburn, professor of Old Testament at Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Alden Thompson, emeritus professor of Old Testament from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Why is it not good enough to say sorry?
Now, what in the world have you been reading in Deuteronomy that makes you ask that question?
Well, we are dealing with the topic of repentance, or to turn around and to ask for forgiveness, right? Okay. So usually that is how we do it with each other. We do something and we feel it was not right, and then we easily and quickly are able to turn and say, oh, I'm sorry, right? So is that not enough? What does it mean to actually ask for forgiveness or repent?
It's so interesting as I'm thinking about how hearing you speak the question aloud to me brings different things to the forefront of my mind than reading, you know? Because I read the same question when I looked over the lesson. But as you speak, I think about how, let's say, just a hypothetical, right, that I am in a public setting and I knock something over in someone's path, right, and they trip, or maybe I misunderstand something. And in those moments, like, I think sorry is enough, right? Oh, I'm sorry, right? And you acknowledge that there's been a hiccup in the interaction between you. But it strikes me that where that's not enough is in relationships that I hope will endure. So in relationships that are dear to me, that I want to thrive, to grow, to heal, to move forward, it's devastating to have someone just look and be like, oh, sorry, without any acknowledgement of what their words or actions have done, right? The impact that they've had on me. And it's just, you know, that enduring, right? That dream of the relationship enduring and deepening, mm-hmm. for me, makes it so I require much more. I want much more.
And this is the book of the relationship. This is the book of covenant making. So it requires something that is beyond just an expression in words. So there needs to be something, it needs to come something that starts deep inside and then comes into action.
Yeah. And something where you see in the interaction that both parties are affected by the other.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the most difficult thing is when you've done something where the damage is enduring. And I think, you know, even if it's not your fault at all, I think many years ago, one of our students who worked in our computer department, dark, foggy night, went out to his car and was driving away, and a older woman that he couldn't see, he ran into her and killed her.
Mm.
Wasn't his fault, but you wouldn't want to say, oh, it wasn't my fault. I'm not. In fact, when our girls were young, they seemed to sense that it was important to say sorry if they had intentionally done it. But what they didn't realize in the more adult perspective, that if you didn't intend to hurt someone, that should be the easiest time to say, I'm sorry.
To acknowledge the
yeah.
pain, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Deuteronomy's word about to ask, to express that kind of deep inner regret is the word to return, to turn around, shuv. And it is used, especially in chapter 30, these first 8 verses there, or from verse 8 to 10, especially. And it is repeated again and again. And the word to return or to turn around is connected to that imagery of circumcision, but circumcision of the heart. And usually I have always had this impression that real regret and the deep way of coming before God is part of a New Testament act that comes to God to ask for forgiveness. And to find it here in Deuteronomy was special to me, to see it so well explained and displayed in this structural way, even as I put it here on the paper, but in these verses, in this chiasm, to turn around, return, return. And then in the center, it is God's work that is described there, because God is the one who performs the circumcision of the heart. So help me a little bit. What does that look like? What is the circumcision of the heart? What imagery and what meaning does it bring for you?
Yeah, Matilda, I want to go back a little bit and just say how helpful I found this, where you pointed out that initiative, the act, right? This is done by God. In other words, entering this state of having a circumcised heart, we could say, is another gift of God. And it strikes me that, you know, that when you first asked at the beginning of this conversation, right, why about sorry, the very first memory that comes to my mind is as a small child where you're just ordered, say sorry, okay? You can't go back and play until you say sorry. I'm sorry. And then you just, I forgive you, right? And it's all a formality to get back to your toys. And there's a sense in which I think we sometimes use the word that way with each other as adults too, right? They need to repent. And yet I have looked a lot at this word, shuv. To me, it's very meaningful. It's in some of my favorite texts in the Hebrew Bible, and I've done a lot of looking for patterns over the Hebrew Bible overall. How is this word used? And, you know, it's used for people who turn to other gods, shuv. It's used for returning to Yahweh, as if this is your design to flourish here and you return. It's used for repent. It's used to say to restore. And one of the things that surprised me last year when I looked at this is how often it's used in conjunction with the word racham, to have compassion. And this is God having compassion. So you know, the irony is that it's us, right? It's the people who need from the outside, we need to turn, we need to repent. But it's God who does the restoring, right? Who does that? There's even several examples where it's in the causative with God as the subject. God causes us to turn, right? To return. And somehow this act of God on our behalf is a tremendous example of compassion. And so, you know, when you say, what does that mean, the circumcision of the heart, I think in receiving that gift, like maybe if you pointed your finger and said to me, you need to repent, I could try to comply, but like Alden, I don't like to be told what to do, right? So there'd be a little resistance there. But when I receive that turning, that returning as a gift God is doing in me, it's sustainable. It does something. It transforms my life in some way and points me toward home, toward growth. And yeah.
One of my favorite psalms, in fact, it's one that I've memorized both in English and in German. And sometimes I like to memorize German because it's such a strong language. English, for example, the Word of God sounds so straightforward. But in German, das Wort Gottes. Ooh, just makes you stand up a bit more. But Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Forgiveness. That's what God does for us.
Yeah. One of my favorite, I think one of the reasons for me looking into this word is that one of my favorite texts is in Isaiah 30, where you have that line, in repentance and rest is your salvation. And right after that, the poet says, but you would have none of it. And then in that very same passage later on, you have this picture of God longing to show compassion, like waiting in the shadows until you're ready, right? And mm-hmm. then he's right there. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
So that connection between turning around and the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision is an act of surgery. It's a violent act, if you will. It can be painful. And in that very process, there is a turning around. So turning around is often not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. And it is in those tough moments when it's probably called for to return, to come back, and to take that way, that road again, go for a new beginning. And God makes that possible in these kind of places here that we are reading in Deuteronomy for the people.
You know, the circumcision of the heart is a powerful image, one which I think I prefer, maybe it's because it's not quite so gory, is a heart of flesh
mm-hmm. yeah.
instead mm-hmm. of a heart of stone.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will give us a heart of flesh, a sensitive, tender one.
Many thanks to my conversation partner, Jody Washburn and Alden Thompson, to our program engineer, Samuel Schaffner, and to all of you for listening in today. For The Good Word, I'm Matilda Frey.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.